This is Briar Cloth, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network on this Election Day 2022. I'm Don Wick with Randy Coonan. We'll have an update from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. The first winter storm of the season is on its way. The National Weather Service says the system will bring a mixture of rain, snow, and freezing rain to the region starting tomorrow night. That will transition to heavy snow Thursday with strong winds reducing visibility both Thursday and Friday. The timing and the amount of snow associated with a storm remain uncertain.
Volatile interest rates are the top concern for ag lenders going into 2023. According to the annual Agricultural Lender Survey from the American Bankers Association and Farmer Mac, most ag lenders said farm profitability was up this year. However, more than half of the lenders believe conditions will deteriorate next year. 80% of those surveyed said land prices went up this past year, and 60% believe the trend will begin to slow down. Inflation, liquidity, and farm income were the top three producer concerns cited by the lenders.
During a time of high commodity prices, rising land values, and government payments, a percentage of farmers became complacent. Virginia Tech Professor Emeritus David Cole made that point during the National Bankers Conference in Omaha.
You're going to have a certain set of customers that are going to what? Burn through profit, which then they'll burn through working capital and liquidity, and then they're going to burn through their equity. But you're going to have another set of customers, and this is where I see the cup half full, that will make the adjustment on FinZilla, and they're actually going to put profits on the table, they're going to build liquidity, and they're going to build equity, and they're going to grow.
In this time of extreme volatility, Cole said commodity prices could drop quickly. That is more important for farmers to know their break-even levels and manage risk.
You have got to be careful of institutions and governments and geopolitics flipping the switch. Because whether it's China, whether it's the United States, or whether it's the Federal Reserve, they'll flip the switch. And boy, when change happens, it will happen very, very quickly. And we're going to go, uh-oh, now we're into problems.
USDA will release the November supply-demand report tomorrow. Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Sam Hudson says traders continue to position ahead of that report.
I think that's part of the weakness in the beans. We've had a pretty good run here leading up to another USDA number. We'll see if they cut the yield again. I think there's a chance you could see that in the soybeans, but I do personally believe there's probably more of a case for yield argument higher in corn than even lower from this point. From what we've seen, in the tail end of harvest in Illinois, Iowa, a lot of these central Midwestern states coming in some really good corn yields, and it seems like we've baked in a lot of the losses out west. So I just don't know if supply shocks are going to be a real theme moving forward, unless it's in South America. And along the way, we're probably going to be cutting a pretty good chunk out of our export demand.
Hudson says the midterm elections will impact the market, but that is more of a longer-term impact.
Potentially, just in terms of policy and moving forward and currency, Fed approach, all that. Here we got another couple of years ahead of us before we could see another presidential turn. I think you're going to see, the markets kind of brace for what, maybe almost use this as a signal for what's to come. And so, what that looks like here moving forward, that could facilitate some peace in Ukraine if you think that, the next presidential turn won't, hand over money the way they have been. So a lot of irons in the fire as we make that turn, and a lot going on here from a world supply and demand standpoint.
The end is in sight for the U.S. harvest season. As of Sunday, 87% of the corn and 94% of the soybeans nationwide are harvested. The corn harvest is 11% ahead of the average for this state. Soybeans, 8% ahead of the norm. 92% of the winter wheat is seeded, slightly ahead of the normal pace.
United Nations Climate Conference continuing through November 18th in Egypt. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack will spotlight the U.S. Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities programs.
Our partnership effort is voluntary. It's incentive-based. It is science and market-driven. There will be verified results. We believe that will result in increased productivity as well as profitability. And we can showcase the partnership with the level of resource that we're investing over $3.5 billion committed to large and small-scale projects. All commodities are involved. All states and regions of the country are involved. Over 25 million acres likely committed to the efforts, and significant greenhouse gas reductions attached to it. We'll report our findings periodically. So it's an important opportunity, and I think there'll be multiple venues for sharing and promoting these climate smart practices and efforts.
Go to rfn.com, sign up for the weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter, and hit your email box every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. USDA has a new tool to help the Farm Service Agency loan application process, make it a bit simpler for applicants. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
USDA has launched an online loan assistance tool to help farmers and ranchers navigate the USDA loan process. FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau says applying for and obtaining an FSA loan can be complicated and time-consuming, but this tool can help.
One of the challenges we have in those programs is we have a fairly convoluted application process, and it's hard for producers to understand from the outset what the eligibility requirements are, what we might loan money for, and where they fit into the suite of services that we currently offer. The loan assistance tool is really our effort to start reimagining how we're going to do farm loans into the future. Using the loan assistance tool, a producer can go to the website, click through, and really get a better understanding of what their eligibility is like, what programs we have to offer within our farm loan programs, and how that can help them in their business.
Ducheneau also says this tool will help the FSA streamline the loan application process in the future.
Because the opportunities to get into agriculture are often very time limited. You may never get another opportunity to buy the chunk of land that adjoins you. And if the tool that you need is what the FSA has to offer, and it takes us 6 months to get an application through the door, that just isn't acceptable. So we need to be able to move in a more timely manner so we can help producers take advantage of opportunity when it does present itself.
To utilize this online tool, visit the USDA's website, usda.gov, and search for the loan assistance tool.
There's a backlog of nearly 80 ships waiting to be loaded on the Black Sea. The organization overseeing the United Nations grain deal reports 15 loaded vessels are waiting to be inspected outside of Turkey. 11 shipments have left Ukraine in the past week carrying corn, wheat, soybeans, sunflower oil, and sunflower meal. This initiative includes Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations, and is scheduled to expire in a week and a half.
The Fertilizer Institute is warning Congress a railroad strike would be devastating for fertilizer manufacturing and fertilizer distribution for farmers. President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch said the trucking and river systems are already having problems. In a letter to congressional leaders, Rosenbusch said a work stoppage in the rail industry would be felt very quickly within the economy.
Rounds of grants and aid for meat processors have been distributed for years. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
The Biden administration has committed $1 billion of American Rescue Plan funds to the expansion of independent processing capacity. Iowa State University Extension livestock economist Lee Schultz says the administration plans to add 20,000 head per day of possible expansions.
Physical additions to the plant, so, you know, increasing cooler space, things like that, but also just the efficiency of those plants. So those funds are targeted towards the labor supply. So how can we, you know, attract labor and be able to operate these existing plants more efficiently? So not really adding any infrastructure, but just adding to the efficiency of those plants.
Schultz says the dwindling U.S. cow herd numbers is a critical factor that may leave some beef processing facilities hesitant to expand.
We're at a place in the cattle inventory cycle where we're on really the precipice of starting to see tighter cattle supply. And so we've, because of drought and because of other factors like really the high cost of production for producers, we've seen a lot more beef cows go to the beef market. So we've seen more beef cows called. We've seen more heifers go into feedlots. And so that has short-term gave us a bit larger cattle supplies and really stabilized beef production. But when we look at medium to longer term, that's really going to tighten up our cattle supplies and beef production.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Bayer finished the third quarter with net income of $546 million, up from $85 million 1 year ago. The Crop Science Division enjoyed strong growth with sales increasing more than 8%. Herbicide sales were strong due to price increases and a positive market environment for glyphosate-based products. North American corn seed and traits were influenced by lower licensing revenue and higher returns. Sales for the soybean seed and traits business declined. Bayer's fungicide sales were unchanged from 1 year ago. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Grain markets saw a two-sided choppy trade yesterday. Ag Resource Company market analyst Nathan Losey says that back-and-forth action is to be expected.
Well, first of all, it's USDA report week, so we have November crop report and WASD estimates this week. We also get the USDA baseline estimates, which is a 10-year S&D forecast. So they take the October WASD report and then go 10 years forward on that. So those are always interesting. I don't know how accurate they are, but the market always likes to see those long-range forecasts.
And the path of least resistance right now is lower.
We're seeing cash supplies tighten up, basis firming in a lot of markets at this time of year. And then at the same time, once we get through the November crop report, there isn't anything for the rest of the year. So we got we get these numbers this week, and then it's January. So yeah, there's nothing overly exciting. So you're probably right. The easiest path is down.
One of Canada's largest meat packers is dealing with a cyber attack. Maple Leaf Foods said the incident created operational and service disruptions. Internal and outside experts are working together to investigate that cybersecurity incident and resolve the situation.
Mosaic Company reporting third quarter net income of $842 million. Profits were below expectations due to damage from Hurricane Ian and a drop in sales volume. Mosaic said fertilizer application rates are trending toward normal levels this fall after a downturn in the spring. For the North American market, that is expected to reduce fertilizer supplies.
14 major ag companies, including Cargill, ADM, JBS, and COFCO, have announced a plan to deal with climate change. During the United Nations Climate Summit, the agribusiness firm said they plan to eliminate deforestation from their supply chains for soybeans, beef, and palm oil by 2025. That plan also includes the establishment of targets for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. As we check in on the markets, we are on the downside as we speak. We're down 3.25 for Minneapolis wheat. That Dease contract at 9.57. March down 3.5. The Chicago wheat, the Dease contract 7 lower, 8.38 3/4. And KC wheat, same contract, down 3.25. December corn down 2.5, 6.73 1/4. March down 2.25. We're 6 cents down right now in January soybeans, 14.44 1/4. March soybeans down 6 cents at 14.52. As we check in on the farm calendar for this morning, we've got the Minnesota AgriGrowth having their Ag Food and Summit. That will be Thursday going on in Minneapolis. North Dakota Angus Association has its annual meeting and banquet. They're going to be having junior activities Friday night and Saturday. They'll be getting into their annual banquet. Again, that's coming up this upcoming weekend, the North Dakota Angus Association. And the 16th Annual Canola Research Conference is going to be held next Wednesday, November 16th, at the NDSU Memorial Union in Fargo. They'll talk about everything from fertility to seeding rates. Again, that's coming up next week, Wednesday. Be sure to vote. This is the Red River Farm Network.